The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Booker Tov. Well, Howard, we're still trying to form a government, so I figured that we'd probably try and just spend a few minutes.
Not too much, exactly.
Real stuff.
Thank
just
you.
Just kind of catching up on yesterday, you know, what happened yesterday, forming a government which kind of still hasn't really been formed. It doesn't look like it's going to be formed anytime soon, to be honest. But the latest interesting development that came around yesterday was apparently that Prime Minister Netanyahu is happy to split the rotation 3-1 in favor of Benny Gantz, meaning out of the 4 years that the government is due to be in office, he's happy enough to give Gantz 3 years as long as he gets first go. So that's an interesting one. So what he's basically saying is that he would like to have the first year, and then he would be happy to give up after the first year in favor of Gantz for the following 3 years. So, I mean, we can all draw our conclusions from what we think about that.
Yeah. Do you think it would be a bad thing? I mean, considering that the country hasn't really created an environment that is best suited for the succession of Netanyahu, do you think it would be a bad thing?
Well, I think that if we're going to do a rotation, then it would probably be sensible for Netanyahu to be second in order to allow him to take care of these legal issues. And then, you know, once the legal process has had its taken its toll worked its way out through the system, then it would be a better moment to determine whether Netanyahu can in fact, should in fact, assume office or not. So I think that, you know, there are the cynics who say, well, by him insisting upon having the first year, he's potentially trying to engineer a situation where he can get some sort of laws in place that will prevent the legal system from taking its course. So, you know, it all depends on how you're looking at it and from which angle you're looking at it. But there is certainly a cynical view to this, which says that, you know, even if he takes that first year, it will be enough time for him to potentially manage to, you know, put an environment in place which will allow him to wiggle out of the situation.
Yeah, very interesting indeed. All right, but let's talk about other subjects. Israel came under a great deal of criticism yesterday, a great deal of criticism at the United Nations. Who was responsible for condemning Israel?
Well, there were condemnations that were coming from all parts, to be honest. Even South Africa's representative.
Oh, there's a shock.
To the United Nations Human Rights Council was even on the podium yesterday, condemning Israel and having their moment, you know, to make their statements. But really, the main condemnation came from surprises of all surprises, President of Turkey Erdogan, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, who actually pulled out pictures during his podium address at the United Nations General Assembly to show that Israel was originally, apparently, according to what he was showing in his pictures and according to his statements, Israel was apparently originally mostly Palestine. And, you know, then he pulled out this sort of series of pictures which showed the pre-1948 situation and then the post-1948 situation until 1967. And he had various different pictures which showed how Israel over time has effectively cannibalized Palestine. Of course, we know that before 1948, the whole of Israel was Palestine. There was no Israel. And actually, Palestine was a place where Jews lived and Arabs lived. And of course, the 1947 plan that went to the United Nations was called the Palestine Partition Plan. So there's no surprises there. But of course, what we find interesting is not necessarily the content of what he said, which was, you know, responded to by Prime Minister Netanyahu's calling him a liar to be making these statements. And whether he's making statements which are true or not true, I think is less of an issue. I think what's more interesting for me is that when the president of Turkey has the opportunity to stand up in front of the United Nations, in front of the world, and have a chance to talk about anything in the world that he feels might progress Turkey, that might be good for his fellow countrymen, for his citizens. What does he choose to talk about? He chooses to condemn Israel. Isn't that just a surprise? I mean, I was even surprised by that, to be honest, because it just didn't seem logical to me that when a person has 20 minutes or half an hour once a year to stand up in front of the world, in front of the TV cameras, in front of all the leaders of all the other nations, and to really say what you need to say, that's what he says. Amazing.
Incredible. And especially because there's nothing specific that, that would have actually prompted anything, anything like this in terms of that discussion. So quite incredible.
Yeah.
What was,
I just wondered to what extent he was trying to, reflect some attention away from what's going on in Turkey, you know, and I think that that's perhaps what the issue is, that he's potentially trying in a way to deflect attention away from what might be happening in Turkey. You know, on the other hand, when the president of Iran stood up and made his comments about Israel, Hassan Rouhani, making statements that Israel supports terrorism in the Middle East and that Israel was treating ISIS operatives in its hospitals, trying to accuse Israel of being the supporter of terrorism in the Middle East. Of course, the United States was thrown in for good measure as well. Yeah, yeah. So when Rouhani stands up and makes statements like that, that is, you know, perfectly what we would expect, you know, whether he's making statements which are ridiculous or just semi-ridiculous, is you know, up to people who hear them in order to interpret. But, you know, when you hear it from Erdogan, I was genuinely surprised. And of course, I was slightly less surprised when the South African diplomat, the envoy Clinton Gary Swemmer, stood up at the Human Rights Council and express condemnation of Israel concerning this plan of annexation of Palestinian territories, which we know we discussed, a week or so ago. But obviously, we would expect that those kind of statements would come under some scrutiny and, of course, come up for condemnation. So that, in a way, you know, we might have anticipated, and of course we know at the Human Rights Council that they've got this agenda item number seven, which is a permanent agenda item, has to be discussed every time the Human Rights Council meets to condemn Israel. That's really what agenda item number seven is about.
I mean, it's just so bizarre. It's incredible. I mean, here's South Africa standing up, where we've just been through one of the most terrible periods in South African history in terms of genocide, and how we have hunted down and really, we've been condemned all around the world, except, of course, by the UN Human Rights Council for some of the our xenophobic behavior, when femicide is one of the most pressing issues in South Africa, where women are being targeted and very, very problematically dealt with, and of course the South African government standing up at the UN Human Rights Council and condemning Israel. It's actually quite a joke if you look at some of the ways in which people have been let down from a human rights perspective, the people who are vulnerable in terms of mental illness, education, normal health care, housing, etc., that South Africa could even have the arrogance to be able to do that is quite unbelievable. But
well, the truth of the matter is that, you know, there is an argument which says that, you know, whoever stands up at the United Nations and condemns another country for human rights violations is being going against, you know, what would be happening in their country as well. And there is a certain element to it which says that, you know, everybody really needs to examine themselves first before they can really afford to be critical of other people. And I think, you know, they're very much two views to this Human Rights Council, because on the one hand, it is important that the international community stands up and speaks out against actions that are taking place, you know, when we think about the Shoah, when we think about other genocides that were taking place and how the world stood by and watched, then, you know, there is a lot of criticism saying that it comes time that the world has to stand up and be critical and make statements in order to prevent countries from acting out without any consequences. But on the other hand, there is certainly an element which says that whoever stands up and makes human rights statements in the United Nations or anywhere has really, first of all, to examine what's going on at home before mm-hmm. they can begin to make criticisms and condemnations of other countries.
Absolutely. I want to talk about this story, which I think is quite concerning. Israel's cellular phone market seems to be on the verge of another significant change, as thousands of workers are on the verge of being laid off. What is the change? What's going on in this sector?
Well, of course, you know, the underlying headline here is that in the week before Rosh Hashanah, it's all of a sudden becoming apparent that thousands of people are going to return from the Chagim to find that they're without a job. And, you know, there is never a good moment to be told that you've been laid off. But of course, there is a certain sensitivity around being told that you are being laid off around the period of the Chagim or just soon after the Chagim. So, of course, this has drawn a lot of sympathy. But in general, the Israeli cellular market and indeed the communications market in general is really undergoing quite a big change. And we've seen a lot of changes in the Israeli market in general for communications when the government forced Bezek to split out, Bezek being the telecom of Israel, the main operator, the incumbent operator, fixed line operator. And the government forced competition in all sectors that Bezek was involved in. So what happened was that the market was split out into cellular and into international calls and into local infrastructure and, of course, TV. And those were different companies offering those things against competitive companies. And that was all separated out. And slowly but surely, we've seen that all of those companies have kind of cannibalized into the spaces of the others, such that, you know, there is now the standard offering that communications companies offer, which is called the triple. Everybody offers the triple. What is the triple? The triple is mobile phone, cellular, and internet as one package being offered by communications companies. And of course, it started off with the international calls companies also offering internet. And then afterwards, they got together with some of the TV companies. We've seen the mobile phone companies now offering TV services as well, given that TV services can be offered over the internet. So it becomes kind of part of the offering. And of course, somewhere in the mix, we've got Netflix as well. So what we're finding is that the prices were all driven down substantially. Just to give you an idea, it's quite simple to get a mobile phone package in Israel for 20 or 30 shekels a month, which includes free international calls to a list of international destinations running into 20 or 30 different countries. It includes unlimited phone calls in Israel and SMSs, and of course it includes unlimited data usage while you're in Israel, and all of that for 20 or 30 shekels a month. And of course, what the government also forced the cellular companies to do was to split away the handset, so you don't pay for the handset as part of your mobile phone bill, but you pay for the handset separately, and then you don't have this issue of are you entitled to upgrades and updates to your handset every so often. That's all been split away in order to try and make it as transparent as possible to the end user. Now what we're discovering is that the prices are really too low. I mean, these companies can't really make a go of it when you sell a package for 20 or 30 shekels a month. And the general public is standing up and making an interesting statement. They're saying, charge us more, charge us an extra 5 shekels a month, charge us even an extra 10 shekels a month. We will gladly pay it in the interest of trying to secure a proper business model so that these people who are now being fired, being laid off because of losses that are being incurred in the industry, let's try and keep them in employment by everybody somehow volunteering to pay a little bit more on their packages. And I think that that's really what the general public sentiment is right now, because 20 or 30 shekels a month is really nothing. And when you compare it to what was being paid before the whole introduction of competition, which was thousands of shekels a month, people are genuinely paying probably 10 or 20% of what they used to pay once upon a time. So to add a little bit probably doesn't, make any much of a difference to the packages that people are paying at the moment. And I think that that's the general attitude right now. But, you know, what we're seeing is that the cellular companies can't make a go of it. And as a result of that, they're going to have to lay off all of these staff members in order to try and bring the company back into profitability. So it's an interesting way of looking at things, and the public is responding in a very interesting way.
It is indeed. Time is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you same time, same place tomorrow.